Hear these words that come from the New Testament book of 1 John, beginning in the third chapter with verse 1 and concluding with 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. But we do know that what we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope purify themselves just as Christ is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. May God's blessing be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Scripture, for their claim upon our lives, daily living. And now, O God, we would ask and pray that you would give us a sense of rest and comfort from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. I probably should let you know today that my mom and dad are here. And they're sitting back there with Abigail right now. Just wave so they know who you are. So those are my parents. And don't listen to anything that they tell you. And don't listen to anything they tell you. And we'll get along. But it's good to have them. They came down and we've just kicked back a little bit last evening. Are going to have some fun together today and tomorrow. And maybe sit and enjoy a snowstorm tomorrow morning. Who knows? Anybody put your snow shovels away yet? Take your snow tires off. I haven't done it yet. I still have ours on. So maybe that will help out. You know, the founder of Gore-Tex is that wonderful stuff that keeps us dry when you're outside or standing in the streams, perhaps. The founder had a hunch that the best number of employees to have in any given factory was 150. And research by an Oxford University professor seems to confirm his hunch. And so when the founder of Gore-Tex began to look at some of this data, he believed that we also cannot have more than 150 meaningful friends. So how many friends do you have? Some people don't think that they have enough friends. I probably should have gone online and entered into my Facebook account and looked to see how many friends I have, but I was afraid to do that. How long would it take you to perhaps make a list of those individuals that you call friends? It's It's my understanding that there's a Facebook page entitled Raise the Maximum Number of Facebook Friends Allowed. Evidently, the person who's created this page is not satisfied with the Facebook limit of 5,000 friends. More friends are necessary, the writer claims, but not for in-depth conversations or soul-searching exchanges on life and death situations. But no, rather, this person needs more friends, because then that will make online games like Mafia or Farmville more fun. There will be more people, more friends to play with, which will make the games a little longer, add more variations and variety. More friends mean better play. I don't know about you. Sounds like some people have way too much time on their hands. When I go online, sometimes usually to check out what family and friends are doing, and I see some of my colleagues that it seems every half an hour are posting something on Facebook, I want to say, who has time to do all that? Why would you want to do all that? But not so fast, says Robin Dunbar, this professor at Oxford University, a professor of evolutionary anthropology, who says that the ideal limit on friends is actually 150. More than that, and our humanness just simply cannot keep track. It doesn't matter if the 150 are in our neighborhood, if we see them every day, or if we have some type of connection to these family, friends, neighbors, relatives across the globe. If the number exceeds 150, we will naturally whittle that down until it comes to that magic number of 150. Dunbar has researched this so thoroughly that individuals have called and dubbed the phrase Dunbar's number to refer to these 150 people who make up the inner circle of our most meaningful friends. Of course, we know more than 150 people. In fact, scientists have estimated that humans can recognize and remember up to 1,500 people. We just can't maintain a relationship with all of them. The quality of friendship will suffer if we try to maintain a meaningful relationship with too many people at one time. The good news for us today, though, is that God's number is not Dunbar's number, 150. There is no limit to God's love. There is no limit to the number of children within God's family. The Apostle John says in his writing, see what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And then he goes on to say something to the effect of, yet that is precisely what we are, children of God. And the astonishing thing is that God receives each and every one of us just as we are, and embraces us as part of God's family. God's capacity to love and care for each and every one of us is inexhaustible. Isn't it good news to realize that God does not place a cap on how many people can come into God's presence? We may stumble. We may choose a pathway that's a little more crooked than straight and narrow. We may at times be deeply disappointing to Almighty God. And yet when we search for God, when we call upon Almighty God for grace and forgiveness, for new life, that door is opened. And it's there that there is a welcoming waiting for each and every one of us to come in. You see, Jesus Christ emphasized that in his teachings when he said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." You see, when the Apostle John says that God so has loved us as a parent loves a child, he is implying that this parent knows the child. What loving parent does not know their child? What parent does not know the likes and the dislikes of their child? What parent does not know and understand their child better than the child does themselves? Well, God knows us even better. You see, we think that we know ourselves, but God is the one who really intimately knows and understands each and every one of us. And in a world where more and more relationships are being very casual or virtual relationships instead of being personal, we hear the good news that God knows each and every one of us by our first name. We're not a number on a screen. We're not a username. We are identified as children of Almighty God. God is, of course, capable of anything. And if the scriptures say that God loves us without limits, then we need to take that as a blessing. The challenge of this unconditional love, therefore, lies not with God, but with our inability, perhaps, to conceive and to believe such a thing. The notion that we are both loved and lovable is perhaps the most challenging thing that God places before us. This idea dares us not only to accept ourselves as a beloved child of God, but also to view every single person that we encounter along our life's pathway as another brother or sister in Christ. God's family is indeed larger than we can even imagine, because there is room for everyone at the table. When we look around us, it can boggle our imagination. The difficult coworker who leaves the lunchroom a mess. The rude convenience store worker. The neighbor with the loud music and the self-centered teenagers. They are all children of God. We don't necessarily have to like them, but we are called to treat each and every one of them with the respect that God first offers to each and every one of us. We worship the God from whom all blessings flow. We benefit from that bottomless source of mercy and grace. And now we get to offer some of that mercy and grace to those individuals that we interact with and encounter each and every day. We don't get to turn to God and say, "You know, God, I've done my part. I've cared for all the people that I'm going to care for today. I have reached my limit. You see, what God asks of us is to receive this love so that we can share it as Jesus shares it. When we say that we are a member of the body of Christ, we are saying that we wish to follow Jesus, to serve Jesus, and to live our daily lives as Jesus Christ did. What Jesus did was to offer love. And so we are asked to love as freely as Jesus did. Let us pray. Lord God, they are simple words for us today. To love as Jesus did. But it can get so sticky because we want to make judgment calls. But you simply put it, go into the world and love others. Oh God, we pray that in our lives we might make it simple. Just simply do it. For it's in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.